The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning again. It's awesome to see each and every one of you here today. We're going with this, and I say it's a series, but it's not a consecutive series, so I don't really know what you call that. But a while ago, I have these like simple like thoughts that come to me from Scripture. The very first one I actually did on Mother's Day on accident, which was kind of terrible in a way. But like it talked about how an ox makes a mess, right? In the stalls, an ox makes a mess. You know what that is? Okay, we don't have to say the word. Where there's a mess, there's a lot of ox. But a lot of ox means there's a lot of work. And we talked about how there's beauty in the mess of life. Like sometimes life is messy and there's all kinds of smelly and stinky things that are a part of our life. But in that, God can be doing some beautiful work. And so our first simple but profound statement is this, is sometimes there's a mess in life, but there's actually beauty found in it. And the second one came from a guy named Solomon in the book of Proverbs. He talks about how you need to sharpen your axe sometimes. And sometimes we're trying to cut down trees with a dull axe and it doesn't work real good. And the best thing to do is to sharpen our axe. And Duke and John and David came up here and did a great job of breaking the sticks. If you weren't here, someplace it's on the interweb someplace, I'm sure. But this morning I found this simple but profound thought that I wanted to share with you. And I did some research on this. I know that's weird. I'm not a research person. But I actually went and I read from the National Association of Health. So like, smart folks. Alright? They found out, and studies showed, that people who were involved in a community, in a positive sense of community, they found an association of reported less depression, anxiety, and stress. This morning, our simple but profound thought is just the idea of fellowship. Real simple, but real, real profound. In fact, Solomon writes about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, picking up in verse 7, he says this, "Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man, all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless and a miserable business." What's funny is that mental health professionals, or health professionals in general, have essentially nodded to or agreed to what Solomon said years and years and years and years ago. Just to recount what Solomon said all those years ago, and who was Solomon? Anybody know? Wisest king to ever rule Israel. Some people say the wisest person to ever live. So somebody really, really smart, a long, long time ago, before these health professionals came and said, "Listen, you know what? Your life is meant to be shared." That's really simple, John. Thank you so much for that. But life is meant to be shared. It's intended to be shared. Now, we have a word called fellowship. It was a word that was unique to me. When I came here, they kept calling this a fellowship. And I was like, "No, it's a church." And they're like, "No, it's a fellowship." And I didn't understand the difference. But a fellowship is this. It's an association, a community, communion, and joint participation. It's people who share things together. They share what one has, anything in participation. It's the idea that this, a fellowship is a joining together, a working together, a sharing. So life is meant to be shared, Solomon tells us. Life is intended to be shared. He actually calls a life that's not shared meaningless and pointless and miserable. Now, some of you, don't look at your husbands right now, but some of you are like, "No, no, no, you don't understand. My life is miserable because of who I'm sharing it with." That's not what we mean here. Life is intended, it's meant to be shared. All the way back, the wisest king to ever live, and health professionals still today echo this same truth. Your life, my life, is meant to be shared. It's meant to live in fellowship, in community with each other. Solomon goes on, and he doesn't just stop there by telling us this. He actually gives us four ways that you and I's life is enhanced or made better by sharing and by fellowship with each other. Picking up in verse number 9, he says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. He tells us this. He tells us that fellowship is enhancing the way and the work that we get. The work is more successful when it's lived in fellowship. Now, again, for fun's sake, anybody work with somebody and say, nope, wrong-o, man. I got some folks at work that it is not better because they're there. In fact, if they were to stay home, we could probably get more work done, right? Everybody has somebody like that in their life. But what is interesting is that it is true. When you think about this, just from a basic, simple standpoint, if you both have a vested interest, if you both want to do a job well, now the problem is we work with people who don't really care about doing the job well, they just want the paycheck. But if you have a vested interest, if you both have the same desire to do something well, do with excellence, your work is actually increased and the success rate of your work is actually better when what? You do it together. Not real profound, but really simple. Solomon tells us that the same thing is always true. Spiritually, that's big time true. I will never, ever probably preach to 5,000 people. Be cool. I'd be scared to death and wouldn't know what to say. But it's not going to happen. But guess what? If there's 100 of us here today, over the course of your life, 100 people have to come in contact with and share the gospel, share the good news, be a light for Jesus with how many people to reach 500? Wait, sorry, to reach 5,000. If there's 100 people here today, how many people you got to do that with? 50. You think in the course of your life, you're going to meet 50 people? But guess what? Me by myself, never going to happen. But all of us together, easy. A trip to Walmart can do that for some of y'all. Some of y'all know everybody, man. You go to Walmart, you can't get out of there. He goes on and he keeps talking about fellowship. He says not only does fellowship make your work more successful, he says fellowship means that your journey and that you and I journey with protection and encouragement. Y'all ever heard the phrase, never hike alone? Why? Somebody say it. Dangerous. There you go. Right. You never know what you're going to expect. You never know what you're going to encounter. You never know what you're going to find. I used to love snowboarding. And I'll never forget, we went snowboarding one year, and I was really stupid and thought I was really good at snowboarding. And so my goal was to always try and find jumps to hit. And I would try to hit jumps. And I'll never forget, I went one time and I tried to hit a jump. And it did not end well. Let's just say that. And all I remember is waking up laying in the snow and somebody asking, hey, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I had no clue how long I'd been there. Had no clue what happened. All I know is that when I tried to jump, my board went this way and my head went this way. Wasn't much up there to damage, so no big deal. But it was interesting because nobody from my group was with me. I decided that I was going to make one last run all by myself, all alone, and I was going to do this. And I went on this last run all by myself. And when I got down and people I was with said I was acting funny, and I was like, how do you know I'm not just acting normal? But they were like, you're acting kind of funny, and went through concussion protocol, and sure enough, I had a mild concussion. And they're like, why did you do that alone? And I'm like, I don't know. It was really stupid now that I think back on it. I'm really sorry I did that. He says that life and our fellowship means that we journey, we go through life with encouragement, with protection. It's the idea that you should never hike alone. It's not just for safety, but it's for encouragement. He knew all those years ago, life gets tough, doesn't it? There are times life is hard, and it's not so much just about the safety that you find in numbers, but it's the encouragement that sometimes we need to spur each other on. Sometimes we need to lift each other up. We need to say, hey, listen, you can do this. You can make it. You can go another day. You can continue on. Regardless of how difficult or how hard life is, you can go another day. You all got those friends who are just encouraging friends? You know what I mean? Like, just everything that comes out of their mouth is an encouragement to you. Don't you love those people? Who's the first person you call on a bad day? That person, whoever it is. Some people just have that natural gift of encouragement. And he knew that we would need that, and that our fellowship was going to be better when we had people in our lives that would encourage us. They would keep us safe. Fellowship means that we have comfort and support. In verse number 11, he talks about how when you lay down together, one is going to be cold, but two will be able to be kept warm. It's along the same lines as the protection and safety. He knew that at times life was going to be difficult. It was going to be cold. Anybody ever experienced cold life? Lonely life? But what is strikingly different from this one to the last one is this. He tells us that sometimes, what do you need? You need to lay down and take a nap. He said, sometimes you need rest. Sometimes you exhaust yourself and you go and you go and you go and you go. And what you need is you just need to lay down and take a nap. You need rest in your life. You and I need rest in our lives. Spiritually, you need rest in your lives. Physically, you need rest in your lives. I'm floored by how busy life is today. I was talking the other day, work on a Saturday. The work week used to be Monday through Friday. How many of you work on Saturday now? How many of you work 7 days a week sometimes? It's life. It's become so busy and so busy. And listen, it's not just adults. Y'all ever seen a kid's schedule? Good night. On and on and on it goes. I'll never forget, I had a student one time and she missed a Wednesday night service. And I went to her and I was a good pastor and I was like, how dare you miss Wednesday night for basketball? And this girl just broke down crying. And she goes, John, you don't understand. If I don't come to practice, my coach won't let me pray. Won't let me play. And if he won't let me play, then my dad's going to get mad at me. And she just unloaded everything that was going on with her. And I was like, how stupid of a person am I that I made you feel guilty about not coming to church when you had all this other stuff going on in your life and I never even took time to care? But what it showed me was, one, this. Don't ever guilt somebody into going to church. That's God's job. Two, was this. Man, they're way too busy. She could not breathe because basketball and football and volleyball and cheerleading and then school and then extracurriculars and then church and then life and then family. Man, our busyness has crept down into our kids' lives. Sometimes Solomon says you need to just take a nap. And you need somebody that's going to nourish you and encourage you and support you and comfort you and just sit with you while you nap. Anybody got napping buddies? I would love to say my dog's not my napping buddy, but he's not. He tells us that fellowship not only means that you need that you'll have comfort and support in your journey. He tells us that fellowship, you'll have strength in adversity. Not only are there times when life is going to be cold, it's going to be difficult. He tells you there's going to be times in lives when you won't need to, in our lives where we won't need to take a nap, but we'll need to fight. Now, going back through all these different things, it's interesting to me because how many of you guys know somebody who's a really good worker but not a good encourager? Anybody? How many of you guys know somebody who's a really good napper, but not a good fighter? You know what I mean? It's interesting when he lays all this out for us and he tells us how our fellowship is completed, is made better with all these different things. It's not one person who meets every one of these criteria. Sometimes there are people in my life who, man, when I'm having a bad day, I want to call them because I want to be encouraged. But you know what happens when I call those people when I'm tired? I feel guilty because they're doing more than I'm doing and I feel like I need to do more to keep up with them, and they're encouraging me to keep going when really what I need to do is I need to lay down and take a nap. And there are other people in our life who we try to get to work with us, but really they're just good fighters, and so we end up fighting instead of working. You know what I mean? It's interesting because every one of us is designed and crafted uniquely by God in such a way that our skill sets work together, that when we need encouragement, there's going to be somebody in our life who can give us encouragement. When we need rest, when we need comfort, there's going to be somebody in our life that God has brought to give us rest and comfort and peace. There's going to be somebody who's going to help us work. There's going to be somebody who's going to help keep us safe and journey with us as we travel together. They're going to protect us and they're going to give us encouragement. Solomon tells us this later in the book of Proverbs. He tells you, this is a famous verse. You guys all know this. Iron sharpens what?
Iron.
There you go. So one man sharpens another. What this means is that we make one another better. If everyone was the exact same as you, would you get any better? Why? Because we need people who are different than us. I need to see somebody who has strengths that I don't have so that I watch them, I can be encouraged by their strengths, and I can say, man, I'm really weak at that, but I wish I could be like them. One of the worst things I ever did, I went for the last church I was at, the pastor got me one day and he said, hey, let's go to the hospital. I said, okay, I'll go to the hospital. So we go to the hospital, we're getting in the car, and we're about an hour from the hospital, so we're driving, we're talking. And he goes, what's the weakest part of your life, spiritually? I don't know, sitting in next to the pastor, the big dog, and you're his employee, and you're like, I don't know that I want to tell you the weakest part of my life spiritually, man. This could cost me my job. So I'm trying to think through what it was, and I just kind of blurted out, man, it's probably my prayer life. I pray a lot in my head. I think a lot of prayers in my head, but vocalizing and stating them and saying them out loud, I don't really do that much, and I don't do that well. He said, oh, okay, great, thanks. You're welcome? I didn't know what to say. So we go and we drive to the hospital, and all of a sudden we get to the hospital, we're visiting with this person, and as we're getting ready to go, he goes, hey, listen, John's going to pray with you. Do you mind? What? I just told you that was the weakest part of my life, and here you are thrusting me into this with somebody who's in a hospital bed. Why would you do that? Because iron sharpens iron. And he knew what I needed was I needed somebody who was different from me, who was not the same as me, who had a different skill set and ability, who was crafted differently by God than I was to make me stronger in areas of my life. Listen, God has brought this together. This is beautiful. What God's brought together are people who are not the same. But man, we can sharpen each other. We can make our lives better by living in community, in fellowship with each other. Fellowship means we refresh one another. You have in your notes there, Psalms chapter 133. It says this, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard. Running down on Aaron's beard and down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hebron were falling on Mount Zion. For the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. You're like, that makes absolutely no sense, John. Why in the world would you put this in there? What does that verse have to do with anything? If you go back and you read what that verse is, it's one of the Psalms that's called a Song of Ascent. When the nation of Israel had to journey, they had to pilgrim, they had to go from wherever they were to Jerusalem to worship, however often they did, they would sing songs along their way that were supposed to help them get there to their journey. It was like the playlist for your car, your road trip playlist. Anybody have one of those? That's what it was. And so as they would drive together, as they would walk together, as they would journey together, they would sing these songs. It's interesting because what that song says is this, is that fellowship, walking together, journeying together, and hearing each other worship is refreshing. It's refreshing. It's like oil being anointing. Oil being anointing, what that is it's like a bath, a shower. Anybody ever like just get done working and you go and you get that nice shower and you just feel automatically better? Like, I'll never forget the dirtiest I've ever been was in Arizona. We were like, it was 175,000 degrees, I think. And me being dumb, I decided that we would do our mission work not at night when we were supposed to, or not early in the morning, but we would do it in the middle of the day. And so we're out cutting up some brush in this church parking lot to try and clear the way. And I mean, dry heat, I don't know what that means, but I was soaked from head to toe. I was just miserably dirty and disgusting. And they had these shower trailers with rats this big in them, I swear. And terrifying. But man, can I tell you the best shower of my life was in that shower trailer? It was just refreshing. The water wasn't cold. The water wasn't hot. Because it was too hot outside, it was cold water, but you didn't mind because it was just what you needed. David tells us in this psalm, what Solomon is echoing, and David is telling us in this psalm is this: life, fellowship is refreshing. It's meant to refresh each other. Sometimes life is difficult, it's tiresome. We're going to need refreshing from each other. One of the biggest things I worried about when COVID hit was this. I found this in my office this week. This is my COVID rope. You know what that means? 6 feet apart. I was the one who had to go in the sanctuary and make sure that every seat was 6 feet apart. So that was my rope. I would go in and I'd make sure that every seat was there, and I'd put a do not sit sign on everything. And one of the things I feared so much during that time was this. Is that while we social distanced for protection, we really did a disservice to ourselves. Because we put distance between us and each other. And that fellowship and that encouragement and that refreshing and that time of coming together and sitting so close to your neighbor that you can hear them sing, we missed that. And what it did, I still to this day fear what it did to our society as a whole. I'm not here to talk politics and talk discussions about whether or not it was the right or the wrong thing, but my fear will always be this, is that what we did is we didn't ever get rid of this rope. That's why it's still in my office after 4 years. But a lot of us kept this rope in our lives too. We've distanced ourselves from people and we're no longer enjoying the fellowship of being close together and being refreshed from each other. We've got that distance that's still there. The last thing that fellowship does for us is this. Fellowship means that we're better together. We're united together. And we grow together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16 says this. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This fellowship, who's in this room at this time, has been brought together at this time to help make your life better. We're united on a mission. We're united on a calling. This is my COVID rope. I told you that. Did anyone notice I had two black lines in this? This was the average seat. So after the COVID regulations got a little looser, we went from 6 feet to into every foot, every seat. We had to skip every seat unless it was family. So there had to be a seat between you and somebody else that wasn't part of your family. So this is my seat rope. Now, I was like, why in the world would I have this? I'm not going to actually go to somebody on Sunday morning and say, JP, nope, too close, man. But I did it because that's what I was told to do. But as I started thinking about this rope, and I started thinking about this seat rope, and there's a seat here, there's another seat here, there's another seat here, there's another seat here, here. There's a lot of these around our church. And it got me wondering, who should be in your seat? Because there's a space next to some of you, there's a space in this sanctuary this morning that somebody needs to fit in. That God's brought you in their life for a specific reason so that you can say, hey, listen, there's this seat next to me at church that's empty. Would you come sit with me? Would you come be a part of our fellowship? See, that last phrase, what he says there is that we grow together. It's easy. How many of you have your people? Yeah, your people. And then all of a sudden somebody from the outside comes into your people. The others, if you will. Any Lost fans out there? It's difficult, isn't it? But this morning, I wonder if God's got somebody who needs to be a part of this. That God's crafted them, He's designed them, He's made them, and He's got a special spot in our church for them. And what they're waiting for is they're waiting for that invitation from you. Just, hey, listen, we'd love to have you come be a part of it. Hey, listen, you need to come to church with me. This morning, I wonder, as we grow together, who God's going to bring in this seat. This morning, I wonder if you'd pray with me that God would show you who needs to be in your seat. If there's somebody in your life who you need to say, hey, listen, you've got to come to church with me. God's doing remarkable stuff in our church, and I think He wants you to be a part of it. And invite Him to come and see and experience. And realize, you know what? This church may be the refreshment that they need in their life. May not be you, maybe somebody else. Because maybe you're an encourager, but they need a worker. Maybe you're a fighter and they need a napper. But God's got somebody here designed for them to help them grow in their Christian life. God's brought some of you here. And my fear for you is that you come in on Sunday morning, you sit in your seat, but you never get to know anybody else. And so while there are people here who God has brought you here to fellowship with, to journey with, you never experience it. Because you never actually get involved. You come in, you dart out the back doors, you wave to somebody on the way. Listen, the simple but profound truth of today is this. You and I were meant to live in fellowship with each other. We were meant to live in community. Life is meaningful and purposeful when we do. Outside of it, going back to what Solomon says, life's meaningless and miserable without it. God, thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship, for this community. Lord, I thank you for blessing my family with this opportunity to be here with them. God, it's remarkable what you do. And as I sit back and I think of all that you've done and just how you've blessed me with this community, Lord, I'm grateful. But God, I know that there may be people who are here today who have somebody in their life that needs this. So God, during this time of worship, I pray that you would bring those people to their mind. That Lord, you would bring their names, you would bring their faces, and it would be etched in our brain until we invite that person to come to share with us, to journey with us. Because life is better in fellowship. Lord, for the individual that's here this morning, who got there here, but they're not being encouraged. They're not being comforted. Lord, they need to make connections. They need to make fellowships. Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes to see spaces, areas, ways that they can be involved, and Lord, that they can join with us and journey together. God, I pray that you would just help us, above all, to glorify you with what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.